My word. Let's give it up for these guys. Wow.
Man.
You know, it is a great morning when you start off with the Foo Fighters at Cross Point, right? I mean, man, it's just a great, great day. So, man, we're excited you're here. We're in week three of the series called Breakthrough. And if you're here for the first time, welcome. My name's Kurt. And we're basically looking at how we can make 2020 better than 2019. Because I think we all would like to have a better year this year than last year. Even if you had a great last year, we're always looking for better. And we believe that that is possible. And so we're taking a look at how to make that happen. So before we jump into what we're talking about today, real quick, a quick announcement on the Dream Big Initiative and where we're going with our next campus, which you've been hearing about. You guys want to know a little information on this? Yeah. So very excited about this. We have our first launch team meeting 3 weekends away. So February 9th, after Sunday morning services, we're going to have a meeting for anybody that wants to come hear about where this thing is going, because we're launching this campus later this year. And so I want you to put this date on your calendar. It's going to be Sunday, February 9th, 12:45 in this room. We're going to have a light lunch, child care. And it's just going to be awesome, because you're going to hear about where we're going. You're going to hear some of the things we're learning about this community, about some of the conversation we had with the mayor in this community just this past week. We met with the mayor, and you might be thinking, well, where are we going? We want to know where we're going. We're going to have to come to the meeting to find that out. All right, it's going to be about 25, 30 minutes from here, but we want you to come to the meeting. You're like, well, why would I come if I don't know which direction we're going in? We want everybody at Cross Point to come to this meeting. We want every person that's at all interested in this initiative. If you're a part of Dream Big and you're funding and investing in this, the Dream Big Initiative to multiply into new communities, we want you to be there. If you're just interested in knowing if this is closer to your community, we want you to come to this launch team meeting. You're going to have the chance to join the launch team, not only at this meeting, but there's going to be following meetings as well. But you're going to have the chance to be there. And even if it's not in a community where you say, yeah, that's a place that, you know, my family or I'm going to go be a part of this next campus, you probably know someone in this community. So we need you inviting people to this. So we hope to send over 100 individuals to the new campus later this fall. And so February 9th, 12:45, you can mark it on your connection card under what's happening on the app and web. So very excited about that. Exciting stuff. Now let me pray for us before we dive into our topic today. God, thank you for the chance to be here today and for the privilege of you just meet us wherever we are. It doesn't matter what we're dealing with. You have an innate way of connecting with us right in that place. And we pray that that happens today, and specifically as we look at our relationships. And you know, I think we all would probably say we want our relationships this year to even be better than last year. And yet one of the big questions is, can we change?
Can people change? I don't know. People are who they are, give or take 15%. That's how much people can change if they really want to.
Well, I'll see you last year. You know,
yeah, thanks for going.
Haley, sweetie, wake up.
What?
I need you to teach me to use the TV.
Now? Why can't Dad teach you?
Because we're married.
Whether it's for themselves or for the people they love.
That way?
I got it?
Yeah, 15%. But you know what? Sometimes that's just enough.
You know, so when it comes to relationships, the big question is, can we really change? How much can we change? Well, today, we're going to dive into this, and we're going to look at just kind of the relational component, because this is a huge piece of any breakthrough that I think we want to make in this upcoming year. And there's a couple things we all have in common as we begin to think about this. One is that we all have a collection of relationships. I mean, think about your life. You have a collection of relationships, and within every one of those relationships, there is a climate or there's an atmosphere that goes with that relationship. And so, you know, there's a climate in your marriage if you're married, or if you're dating in your dating relationship. There's a climate in your relationship with your kids. There's a climate in your relationship when you enter the work environment every day. There's a climate with your mother and with your mother-in-law. And so, you know, the reality is the current climate, whatever that climate is in each of your relationships, that really dictates the forecast of that ongoing relationship. For example, if I were to show you, you know, the climate of a marriage is just marked with resentment and contempt, I mean, an expert would be able to say, we could predict with uncanny accuracy if that marriage is going to make it or not. And you say, well, how can they do that? Well, Malcolm Gladwell, in his book Blink, he actually talks about this. He talks about how psychologist John Gottman talks about how about 90% of the time, in just 15 minutes, he can predict if that marriage is going to last 15 years. In fact, here's how he describes it. He says he's looking for patterns and cues and has found that he can find out much of what he needs to know just by focusing on what he calls the four horsemen: defensiveness, stonewalling, criticism, and contempt. And he says contempt is the biggest one. When contempt is present in a marriage, I can guarantee you that marriage will not last. And it's crazy. Well, why is that? How can we predict that with such accuracy? It's because there is a climate in every relationship, and that climate will actually dictate the forecast of that relationship. And that's true in all relationships, right? I mean, every relationship is that way. And if we're honest, I mean, if all of us are honest, there's probably at least one relationship that we hope in 2020 is in a better place at the end of this year than it is right now. And so here's what else I know about us. Not only do we have a collection of relationships, and not only does the forecast, you know, dictated by the climate of the current relationship that we have, but here's another thing we have to consider. There's a climate that goes with you everywhere you go. Now, you've maybe never thought of that before, but it's kind of like Pigpen. Remember Pigpen from the Peanuts, you know, cartoon? It's like everywhere he goes, there's a dust cloud that just moves with him. Well, that's like your climate. Everywhere you go, there's a climate that goes with you. There's an atmosphere, if you will. When you go to work, when you come back home and interact with your family, there's a climate when you go to Kroger and you check out at the checkout lane. There's a climate when you go to class or when you get with your team, your sports team. There's a climate in nearly every environment that you enter into. And the crazy thing, what's really scary about it, is you can't see your own climate. All right, you can't identify it yourself. It's almost like invisible to you because you don't know what it's like to be on the other side of you. Right? You don't know what it's like to be married to you or to be dating you or to be, you know, to work for you or for you to be, you don't know what it's like to manage you in the office. Or you don't know what it's like to have you up in the stands when you're down playing, you know, on the field. And so here's what we're going to do today. I'm super excited about this. I always like to kind of tell you where we're going so we kind of have an end goal, all right? So at the end of the service this morning, if you have the app, if you don't have the app, you can download the CrossPoint app. You're going to need the app. We're going to open this live portal up on the CrossPoint app, and you're going to be able to put like 10 email addresses into the app. And basically, these are going to be of 10 people that are reasonably close to you. Maybe a friend, a close friend, family member, maybe a neighbor, a boss, somebody who reports to you in the workplace, a spouse. 10 people that you would say are important people in your life. So those 10 email addresses plus your email address, so 11 email addresses total. And basically what's going to happen is later on this evening, an email is going to go out to those 10 people. And so tomorrow morning, they're going to have an email in their inbox, and they're going to respond to the question, what is it like to be in your life? All right, and they're going to respond back to that. And as those responses come back in, this is going to all be collected and a report is going to be sent to you. And basically, the report is going to let you know what other people think about having you in their life. All right, now, this is going to be really cool. But I'm not seeing you guys be super excited about this. You like look really scared. Like, there's no freaking way I'm giving them 10 email addresses. I'm not doing that. Why would I do that? Come on, this would be fun, right? I'm just messing with you. We're not going to do that, all right? You can, everybody take a breath, let your sphincter down, just, all right, just relax, all right? We're not actually going to do that this morning, all right? We're not going to send 10 emails to 10 people in your life and ask them what's it like to be in your life, all right? But here's what I will say. Just because we don't send that email and ask that question doesn't mean the information's not there. And so today we're gonna kind of dive into how do we discover what it's like to be in our life. Now, there's a couple breakthrough books on this that really kind of dig into this. One is called Emotional Intelligence. It's by a guy named Daniel Goleman. And Stanford University School of Business did all the research on this, and so it's just fascinating. Another book that I spend a lot of time in is called Emotional Intelligence for Dummies. That's the series I track with best. And so either of these, you can read in these. I mean, I would encourage you, if you want to learn more about just, you know, your climate, your relational, emotional climate, I encourage you to read these. If you don't read them, I can save you a lot of time and sum up basically all the major thoughts in a couple statements, all right? And so all the research and all the writing out there basically says this: the number one career killer, the number one career limiter today in our world is when any boss, manager, leader, employee, when basically they don't have the ability to understand or interpret the relational and emotional climate in the workplace with the people they work with, or understand the emotional climate and relational climate they bring to the workplace every day. It's a major limiter. In fact, you could almost interchange, you know, the descriptor there. You could say the major marriage killer today or the major family killer or limiter today is when people in the family don't understand the relational emotional climate they bring into the family system and how to interpret what's going on with others in their family. For example, you show me any leader, boss, or manager who has great cognitive skills. I mean, they can kill a spreadsheet. They can recognize a trend in their industry that most people don't recognize. They can even speak eloquently and cast vision. But you show me a boss, leader, or manager who can do all those things well but can't interpret and read the climate emotionally and relationally in their context or understand what they bring into that context, and I'll tell you, that's a leader right there that's capped, that's hit their glass ceiling, and they're not going any further. And some of you have worked for these people, haven't you? And some of you, you're going to show up tomorrow morning or Tuesday morning if you're off tomorrow, and you're going to see these people, right? And the crazy thing, kind of the bothersome thing about it all, is they have no idea. I mean, they have no idea that they're this way. They have no idea because they can't interpret their own climate. And you'll hear something even a bit more bothersome than that, is what if those people are us? What if it's you? You might go, oh, it's not me. Well, how do you know? How do you know it's not you? I mean, the reality is we all have a climate emotionally and relationally that we carry with us everywhere we go. Now, as if that weren't enough, here's another thing we have to consider this morning when it comes to relationships. Relationships, your collection of relationships are the most important asset you have in your life. In fact, one time somebody asked Jesus a question. They said, Jesus, what's the most important thing? And really, it was kind of a trick question. The person asking was trying to trick Jesus. He said, you know, if you could sum everything up in the scriptures, all the laws up, what would be the most important thing? Could you put it into one phrase, please? And they thought they were going to trap Jesus. Jesus is always the most, you know, smartest person in the room. And so he thought for a moment, and they thought they had him trapped. And he came back and said, all right, grab a pen. Here it is. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And without taking a breath, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, that's it right there. That's the big one. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, that's it. What he's basically saying is that it's all about relationships. Relationship not only with our Heavenly Father, but relationships with others. Both are equally important. And so today, the good news in this is we have a Heavenly Father who cares about our relationship not only with him, but he deeply cares about our relationship with others. He wants us to have the best 2020 in our relationships that we could ever have. He actually is an advocate. He's an ally for us in this. So today we're going to take a look at a family interaction in the Bible. It's actually the very first family in the Bible, first human recorded relationship. It's going to be very cool. We're going to get to kind of do a live look in at the relational and the emotional components going on here. And before we do this, I just want to make sure we know what we're going to be doing this week. So because I always want us to have something very real and something tangible we're going to do. So after we look at this picture and kind of understand a few things, I'm basically going to give you one action step. All right, one walk out, one next step, if you will. And the cool thing about this next step is it's not going to cost you any money. It's going to cost you a little bit of time, but it is going to require some vulnerability. It's going to require some humility, and it's going to require some transparency. All right, and it's going to require a tremendous amount of courage. But I tell you, if you will walk this thing out this week, begin walking this out, I guarantee you, a relationship in your life that you say, man, this is in desperate need of a climate change, it will actually begin to happen. So let's take a look at Genesis 4. This is a family relationship we're going to look at. This is two brothers, Cain and Abel, two famous brothers. And we're going to see this emotional and relational dynamic play out in their lives. So here's the story from Genesis 4. It says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So we basically have two brothers, all right? And as is normal in any brother relationship, there's a tension that emerges between the two of them. What's the tension caused over? One brother got something that the other one didn't get. So somebody's crying foul. Oh, it's not fair. I didn't get what he got. He got his offering was accepted. Mine wasn't. And so Cain is the one whose offering was not accepted. And so we can see right here Cain's response to this moment right here. And all of a sudden you can see the relational and the emotional climate just swirling. Right here. Take a look at the next verse. It says, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. So the emotional status of Cain is he's angry and his face is downcast. He's very downtrodden. Verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? In other words, God comes to Cain and he's basically like, hey, Cain, can I reflect something to you? Because I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but why are you so angry? You are, I don't know if you realize how angry, you're really angry. Like, have you ever interacted with somebody and like they just like are so angry and so, like they just got this bitter look on their face and you're like, man, you got like RBF written all over you right there, right? And you guys know what RBF is? If you don't know RBF, I'll let you Google it. I'm not going to explain it right now. Actually, I'm going to let James Corden explain it for you because he had a great bit on this. And don't worry, we've taken the offensive language out of it, just in case you're wondering, all right? RBF, take a look at how James...
It was in the news this week that two behavioral scientists at a research institute in the Netherlands have conducted a study proving the existence of the phenomenon that we know as resting bitch face. You know what, right? If you don't know what resting bitch face is, it's when your face, for no reason whatsoever, looks like you just got a parking ticket. You know, it's sort of... like it. But the researchers have discovered that resting bitch face can be traced to two different things. It's either A, something in a person's face is relaying greater than usual amounts of contempt, or B, that person is a But that's right, resting face is real, and men do it too. The difference is when women do it, we say it's resting face, and when men do it, it's just every movie poster. Look, resting face. Resting face. Look at that. Look at Bond there. What a
So, you know, you interact with somebody, you're like, man, you just look so angry. You got, like, RBF all over your face. And you're like, are you okay? And they're like, oh, I'm doing great. You're like, really? You should tell your face. Because that's not what your body is saying. Right? That's what God's saying to Cain right here. You know, God's coming to Cain. He's like, I don't think you're aware of what it's like to be on the other side of you right here. Right? I don't know that you know. I mean, why are you so angry? Do you realize how downcast you are? Goes on to verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it. In other words, in fact, another translation says you must master it. Now, this is a huge, huge moment right here. Not only for Cain, this is a huge moment for you and I to be able to look in on this picture right here and kind of have some learnings right here. So what God's basically saying to him is if you don't learn to master your emotions, guess what? Your emotions are going to master you. If you don't learn to get a handle on this and the things that are coming out of your life, guess what? I mean, it is going to lead you to some really, really destructive places. In fact, here's another way of saying it. Don't be aware of your emotions. Don't become your emotions. All right? Be aware of them. Be very aware. It's important to be aware of them, but don't become your emotions. I mean, how many of us, think about this for a moment. How many of us, if we would have just seen this, these words right here last week, you could have maybe not had some of the pain and strife and difficulty you had this week because maybe you became your emotions. He's saying, do you realize what's coming out of you? Do you realize the climate that's coming out of you? Man, why are you so angry? Why are you so downcast? See, I think this is one of the reasons why so many marriages fail. Well, so many marriages struggle, and we can't put a finger on it because, you know, it's like one person in the marriage doesn't have the ability, or maybe both, to read the emotional climate of the marriage and what they're bringing into that. And they're not even aware, and over time, those emotions, they just become those emotions. And he's like, she's just so bitter all the time because the emotions have taken over. Or she might say, well, he's just so angry all the time because those emotions have taken over. And you become the relationship. They become the relationship. It's why so many times in the workplace, there's so much dysfunction. And we don't even know why, but it's like there's not the ability to read the emotional climate and respond to it and manage it, which is what emotional intelligence is. And so as a result of that, you know, people just become the emotion and it's toxic. I mean, this is why if you've got a relationship and you just can't put your finger on why is it this relationship so toxic? I just can't figure it out. Likely, it's because there are emotions that either you have or the other person has or maybe both of you have that you've not been able to put a finger on. And so you have become those emotions in that relationship. And so every time you see an email from that person or every time Facebook, you know, a post goes on Facebook and you see their name, you're just like, oh, they make me so mad. And you begin to seethe with anger. You see them and you just don't even want to interact because you have that relationship has become the emotion right there. And what God's saying is you can't become the emotion. You got to be aware of the emotions. Don't become the emotion. It's a huge, huge learning right here. And so if you have a relationship that's just struggling or dysfunctional and just is in need of a different climate, this is likely what's probably taken place. Somewhere emotions have manifested, they've kind of congealed, and that relationship has actually become the emotion. Now, Cain's response to God right here is really, really fascinating. Take a look at what's said next. It says, now Cain said to his brother Abel. Now, this is fascinating. Did you catch that right there? God asked Cain a question. Cain doesn't respond to God. He responds to his brother Abel. Why? Because he's so angry. He's so downcast at God that he can't even respond to him. So he instead talks to his brother Abel because his emotion has taken over. He says to his brother, let's go out in the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And what Cain says next has reverberated throughout human history ever since this moment right here. In fact, this next phrase that he says, you've probably said it before. Maybe you've heard it at least. And you may not have known it actually came from the Bible. This is actually from this story right here. So take a look. It says, the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? Now, I know this is kind of an extreme story, right? I'm not saying your emotion is going to cause you to go out of here and kill somebody today, right? That's not where we're going. What I do want us to see, though, is that emotions can kill relationships. And we know that, right? We've experienced that. Emotions can kill relationships. The antithesis is true as well. Emotions can actually bring healing to relationships. And so all of this that we've looked at so far sets us up for this one thing I want us to go out and do this week, this one next step I want us to do. And again, it's going to take some courage, it's going to take some humility, but I'm telling you, if you will walk this out this week, I guarantee you there will be a breakthrough in a relationship that you're desperately waiting for. All right, so I'm going to ask you to basically ask one question to three people. All right, one question to three people this week. And these three people, they could be, you know, a spouse, it could be somebody you're dating, it could be a boss, it could be a close friend, it could be, you know, somebody, some of your children if they're older. Students, if you're a high school, junior higher, this includes you. I want you to track on this as well. I guarantee you, students, you do this week, and you will be light years ahead of every other student your age. All right, you learn how to do this, you will excel immensely in emotional intelligence. This is one of the main factors of success in our world today. All right, and so basically, you're gonna need to set about 15, 20 minutes aside for three different conversations this week. Get a notepad so you can take some notes. All right, and before I give you the question, this question actually comes from Dr. Henry Cloud. He's a relationship expert. He gives this question in his book, Integrity. He actually puts it right in the book. In fact, Henry Cloud, you might know him better from the Boundary series. He wrote the whole series of boundary books on boundaries relationally and physically and marriage-wise and for kids. He also wrote the book Necessary Ending, so he gets the relational dynamics of, you know, of relationships. And so here's the question. I learned this question a number of years ago from a guy named Jeff Henderson, which radically changed the way I interact with people. All right, and so here's the question Dr. Henry Cloud gives us. He says, what's it like to be on the other side of me? Think about that for a moment. What's it like to be on the other side of me? Because I don't know. I've never been there. All right. And Dr. Cloud, he says we have to learn to ask questions, you know, to understand the relational and the emotional, you know, blind spots that we have in our lives, because you don't know what it's like to be married to you. And you don't know what it's like to work for you. And you don't know what it's like to, you know, be your kid when you're the one sitting up in the stands at their soccer game. You don't know what it's like for them down there. And so it's a really, really powerful question. It's a difficult question, but I tell you what, very, very powerful question. Now, here's the thing. If you are willing to ask this question, this one question to three people this week, here's some of the responses you're going to get. I guarantee you, you're going to hear one of three things. Actually, all of these three things. First, you're going to get some really encouraging information. All right, you're going to hear some things from people that you ask this question to, and you're going, oh my gosh, that was so helpful. Thank you for sharing that with me. I'm encouraged by that. And then you're going to get some surprising information. You're going to go, oh my gosh, I didn't know that I was doing that. And that's going to be, I think, helpful as well. And then third, you're going to get your feelings hurt. I'm just telling you, you're going to get your toes stepped on. You're going to hear some things you're not going to like, but it's going to be really helpful to you. So you're going to get encouraging information, you're going to get surprising information, and you're going to get your feelings hurt. All right, all three of these things are going to happen. Now you might say, Kurt, how do you know this? Well, I know this because I've already been doing this. All right, I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't already done myself. In fact, I did this a number of years ago, and then just over the last 2 weeks, I've gone back to some relationships in my life, said, hey, what's it like to be on the other side of me? And I have heard all three of those, encouraging, surprising, and got my feelings hurt a little bit. Now, if you're in the room and you're dating someone, you're engaged or you're married, I know what you're already thinking, all right? You've already maybe said this to your spouse or your partner next to you. You've leaned over and you've gone, honey, sweetie, Sparky, whatever your pet names are, all right? Just whatever, I know you have different ones. Honey, if you don't ask me, I won't ask you, right? And you're like, then we're good. We don't have to worry about this. Let me just tell you, you can do that. It's not going to help you, all right? You're not going to get some of the information you need to hear. Now, if you've been married for 50 years or more, anybody in the room been married 50 years or more, just out of curiosity? Anybody? Nobody in the room? All right, so nobody is absolved for this. If you're married 50 or more years, I'd be like, you're absolved. You figured out how to do this. But the rest, we have work to do, all right? If you're under 50 years, then we all need to engage in this week. Because, see, this is a breakthrough question, and it's a breakthrough invitation. All right, so this is going to be our next step this week. In fact, you can take out your connection card. On the back are our next steps. And there's some other ones I hope you'll take. I mean, I hope you'll get in a group this week. I hope you'll plan to be here next weekend. You can mark those. I hope you plan to invite somebody to game day. I mean, it's one of the best weekends ever to invite people to Cross Point. I even hope you'll plan to, you know, be here for the vision, the launch team meeting on February 9th. I mean, you can mark all that. But the main step I really want us to hone in on this morning is this one. Will you ask the question? And you're going to need to fill it in, all right? You're going to have to write it in here, and then you can get a screenshot of it so you can take it with you. What's it like to be on the other side of me? And as you ask this, here's what's going to be so hard about this week, all right? As you ask this, I don't want you to defend what you hear. I don't want you to rationalize what you hear. I don't even want you to explain why you may have responded this way. This is so hard. I even resisted this and even found myself, you know, explaining a few times as I've been asking this question this week. I simply want you to listen. And I want you to take notes and gather those responses, all right? And then here's what we're going to do next. Now, some of you know this is a 360. You've done this before. It's called a 360 where you get feedback from 360 degrees on all sides. And here's what I want you to know as you receive this information. As you get this information is neutral, all right? It's neutral. And you might be sitting there going, Kurt, the information I'm planning on getting, I don't think it's neutral, all right? I'm pretty sure it's going to sting quite a bit. It's neutral. I just want you to know it's neutral. But see, how you receive the information is going to activate it. And what I mean by that is if you receive the feedback and you go, oh my gosh, I think they're attacking me. I think they're trying to be really mean to me. You're going to activate that information as an attack or a curse, right? And you're going to have a sense of resisting that. But if you receive this information, you go, oh my gosh, this is a great moment to learn. I had no idea. These are great learnings. What can I do? How can I filter this and try to understand how to be a better person around the people that are most important to me? Guess what? This is going to be a blessing. And not only is this information going to be a blessing to you, but it's going to be a blessing to everybody who lives in your home. It's going to be a blessing to people you work with, the people you interact with. But see, the choice is yours. And then what we're going to do next is after you collect that information, ask that one question to three people, then I want you to take that information to your Heavenly Father. And I just want you to say, you know, hey, God, it's me, Kurt. You know, just start conversation. Hey, God, it's me, Kurt. You know, I've been asking this question, you know, what's it like to be on the other side of me? And here's some of the things people have been saying about me. And God, I honestly think about 95% of it's inaccurate, if I can be honest. I mean, I just really don't think it's on target. But, you know, God, if only 85% of it's inaccurate. I mean, could you help me with that 15%? I mean, can people change? I mean, can you help me with that 15%? Because, man, I really want to get this right. And you know what that's called right there? That's called a prayer. That's what that's called. That's not like a lay me down to sleep prayer like you used to pray as a kid. That's like a prayer from the depths of your soul. Like, God, I want you to help me on this. I mean, I want you to help me get the relational thing right. And so give me some leads. Help me get some clarity. And you know how I can say that, that there's going to be a powerful moment right there is because there's another relational and emotional climate going on in Genesis 4. In fact, when we look at this, the reason I can say, you know, if you just reach out to God and say, God, will you help me in this? God is going to come and help you. He's going to give you strength and clarity. In fact, I love what the psalmist talks about in Psalm 62. We see this emotional climate of God described right here. It says, God has said this, and I've heard it over and over. God, you are strong, which means strength, and Lord, you are loving, which means tender. So it gives us this picture that the emotional and relational climate of God is He's strong and loving, strength and tenderness. And we see this play out right here in Genesis 4. We see strength and tenderness play out. We have Cain bring an unacceptable offering. And basically God says to him, hey, Cain, I don't think that offering's your best. I mean, you brought me something, but I don't think it's your best offering. I'm going to reject that because I think you can do better. Now, he wasn't rejecting Cain. He was just saying, I want you to bring me your best, Cain. Try again. I mean, there's a strength right there, right? And then he says, if you bring the right offering, guess what? You know it's going to be accepted. There's a tenderness there. And then he looks at Cain. He says, Cain, why are you so angry? Why are you so downcast? And just like any loving father would do, he says, Cain, you got to get a handle on this. Tell you what, if you don't master your emotions right here, it is going to lead you to some bad, bad places. And it does. He goes and kills his brother. So we see our Heavenly Father coming to Cain in both strength and tenderness at the same time. And so in light of that, for extra credit this week, here's a fourth person. I want you to ask this one question to a fourth person. All right, the fourth person is your Heavenly Father. I want to encourage you to get a little time, set it aside, and just say to God, hey, God, what's it like to be on the other side of me? And just sit and listen. Now here's why I think this is such an important question to ask our Heavenly Father. Because see, and we're all about transparency here at Crosspoint, right? We're all about authenticity. But see, here's the reality. I think some of us, if we're really honest, we're angry at God this morning. We are angry. And if we ask God, you know, what's it like to be on the other side of me? You might begin to see, he might reflect back to you, do you realize how angry you are? Now, is it okay to be angry with God? Absolutely. He can handle it. What's not okay is to not deal with that anger. See, I think there's some of us here this morning that are really disappointed with God. Maybe God didn't come through on something for you. Maybe God, you know, you were expecting somebody to be healed and they weren't healed in the way you wanted them to be healed. Or you asked something and you just feel like God hasn't moved. You haven't seen God's hand and you're just really disappointed. I encourage you to ask this question, God, what's it like to be on the other side of me? Because I think this question might help us get a handle on some of that. Is it okay to be disappointed in God? Absolutely. Is it okay to not deal with it? No. I think this question will help us deal with that. See, maybe the breakthrough relationship for 2020 is actually with our Heavenly Father. And this question, God, what's it like to be on the other side of my life? I just encourage you to sit and listen and take some notes and just let God kind of speak in you. I don't know where it's going to go, but I think it's a good practice to do. So it's not going to be easy. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get some surprising information. You're going to get some encouraging information. There's going to be some good stuff come out of this. Now, here's the thing. If we choose to not do this, it doesn't mean the information's not there. It just means we're not tapping into it. And you know who suffers if we don't tap into it? You do. And all the people in your life, and all the people that live with you, and all the people that work with you, and all the people that interact with you suffer. So I just want us to practice this question out loud before we wrap up, all right? Because, you know, I think there's something about saying it out loud that just, I don't want anybody to walk out of here and go, what was that question Kurt wanted us to ask again today? I can't remember what that was. So we're going to say it out loud. Even if you're listening on the podcast, driving down the road right now, or you're sitting at a coffee shop, just say it out loud with us, all right? Might make some interesting coffee table conversation when we're done, but we'll let you deal with that, all right? So are you guys ready? On the count of three, let's say this together. You ready? I don't think you are, but we're going to do it anyway, all right? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. What's it like to be on the... Man, you guys got it. So that's the question this week, all right? One question, three people if you're willing, a fourth for extra credit, your Heavenly Father. Now, before we wrap up, that's your next step. That's what we're going to do. I want to talk to just the guys in the room for just a moment, all right? Ladies, you're welcome to listen in if you want, but I want to say something specifically to the guys. Because ladies, here's why I want to say something to the guys. This is a general statement. I get myself in trouble at times with general statements. But I think generally, ladies, wouldn't you agree with me that when it comes to relationships, that women are generally more relationally tuned in than men? Would you agree? My wife was somewhere in there, I think, saying yes. So I'm not saying men don't think relationships are important, guys. Don't hear me say that. It's just that I don't think that as men, we always think relationships are important and urgent at the same time. All right, and so for us, for men, sometimes what's urgent is what I got to get done. I got to go knock this out or conquer this or land that deal or make that sale or sign up for these classes or get that loan, whatever it might be. Those are the urgent things. So when we see a question that says, what's it like to be on the other side of me? We say, well, I mean, that's important. I'll get to it when I can, but it's not urgent for us. All right, and so I want to challenge you from one guy to another, men, to make this question urgent this week. All right, not just important, but urgent. All right, now, can I tell you guys one more story? Can I paint one more picture of why we need to do this? Is that okay? All right, one more story. So I just recently got this book, Steve Jobs. You guys may have read it, and I'll tell you why in a moment why I got the hard copy book. Steve Jobs, and I'm an Apple guy. I love Apple. I've got an Apple Watch. I've got an iPhone. I'm teaching off an iPad. I've got a MacBook. I've got AirPods. I drunk the Kool-Aid, all right? Years ago, I used to be totally against Apple, just so you know. I was not on the bandwagon initially, and then everybody here had a MacBook, so I'm like, I ought to get a MacBook. So I got a MacBook, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Have you met Mac? And so I became a salesman for Mac. I don't make any money. I'm like an evangelist telling everybody how great it is for Mac. All right. So I got this book, and I'm fascinated by Steve Jobs. And there's something interesting about this book. Inside the front cover of this book is a photo of Steve Jobs sitting in his office looking at an Apple computer. Now, this photo became all the buzz a number of years ago when this book came out. And one of the reasons is because, you know, if you're into Mac, you know that one of Mac's, or Apple's phrases, like one of their mottos is, we want to put a dent in the universe, right? Apple wasn't really about like producing computers. They want to make a massive impact in the world. They want to put a dent in the universe. It just happened to be it was through technology and through computers. And so this photo was actually taken out of syndication. Like, you can't go out and find it on Google. I looked and looked and looked. You can't find it anywhere short of just buying the hard copy book. And so I usually read everything digitally on my iPad, but it doesn't come in the digital version. So the owner of this photo took it out of circulation. Now, what's fascinating about this is most people say, well, Apple's, you know, they're about making a dent in the universe, so it's logical to think that Steve Jobs, he's sitting back, he's got his hands behind his head, he's kind of gazing at this creation sitting on his desk, the iMac that's changed the world, put a dent in the world, right? It'd be a logical thought. But that's not the story behind this picture right here. The story behind this picture is that this photo was taken right after Steve Jobs got pancreatic cancer. And some of you know what it's like to be on the other side of that conversation with the doctor where the doctor comes in and says, you know, yep, you've got the big one. You've got cancer. And you know that in those moments when you hear those words, things aren't just important anymore, but things that are important become important and urgent. And so this photo, which I'm going to put on the screen just so you can see it clearly, Steve Jobs is looking at the Apple, the iMac sitting on his desk, but he's actually looking at the screen, and he's looking at what's on the screen of his iMac, which is his wife, Lorene, and his son, Reed. Because see, you can conquer the world, and you can put a dent in the universe, but at the end of the day, it all comes back to relationships. And guys, I just want to encourage you, I think one of the reasons as guys, we sometimes don't make relationships urgent. They're important, but not urgent, is because we feel like we've got infinite amount of time. Like our days, we just got infinite amount of time. No, our days are numbered. We have limited amount of time. Now, I don't know how much time we have, I don't know how much time I have, but we have a limited amount of time. In fact, that's why I love Psalm 90, where it says, Lord, teach me to live. Teach me to number my days so I can live with a heart of wisdom. Because I begin to realize I have numbered days. I don't know how many they are, but I begin to live out of wisdom. And the important things, like relationships, rise to the surface. And listen, I'm not saying don't go on that business trip this week. I'm not saying quit the job. I'm just saying, will you ask this one question to three people this week, and four if you want extra credit, and begin to get a read. What's it like to be on the other side of me? Because I think you're going to learn, you're going to grow, and your relationships are going to have breakthroughs this upcoming year like you've never experienced before if you'll do this. All right, so that's my prayer. My prayer is that the Spirit of the living God, who's alive and at work, even right here in this room right now as you're contemplating this, that He'll give you the courage to identify and ask at least three people this week, and that you'll listen and you'll reflect, and then you'll take that information to talk to your Heavenly Father. And then as you talk to your Heavenly Father, He'll give you some leads on, here's some things that can change the forecast in that relationship. And I'm going to tell you, as that happens, His power and His presence is going to lead you to wide open spaces, and it's going to lead you to freedoms in your relationships like you've never experienced before. But the choice is yours, all right? The choice is yours. So let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing one more song this morning about this kind of freedom, then we're going to get out of here.